Counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Initech.
No, you're working at Initech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million. If I
Welcome had back to Sexy Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. This is Brendan Cornan. Mr. Matt Weber on the board out there. He's short as man today. We got to actually do it yourself today, or what's going on with him?
Got to do it myself.
This is, oh, I see. Jack is a man. He likes hanging in over there.
He does very, very well.
He focuses in that guy. He's a focus.
Yeah, he's a quick learner. You tell him something once, he's got it down for life. Those are easy guys to work with.
He was very happy when there was not much sports.
Not a sports guy, huh?
He's not much of a...
Well, he's a sports guy, but he's not much of a talker.
No.
Which is tough when you're doing radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you kind of... There's not a whole lot you can do visually.
Well, there is, but the audience just can't respond to it.
Yeah, I had fun yesterday, Brendan, playing, anyway, you should probably tell where the market is. S&P futures up 8.25, Dow futures up 88, NASDAQ futures up 28. We're getting better than expected. You know what? Every time we have one of these quarters where the earnings are supposed to be lousy, even though they are lousy compared to like last quarters, there's always a spin on them that they're not as bad as people thought they were. Whoever those people were, the expectations, those expectators. Was your buddy Mayor Daley? Who are all these alligators? There's been these allegations, Mayor. Who are all these alligators? I somehow had to agree with him on that. You know,
they're all in Humboldt Park.
Yeah, they're all in Humboldt, all someplace. I got to play Olympia Fields North yesterday with my buddies. I was a guest from the Marist Legal. Well, legal Marist lawyers are trying to get a group kind of where they. Are an ongoing group that makes some waves and get a golf outing. And is there any place in the world where there's more nice golf courses than in Chicago? Even though people don't realize that necessarily. I mean, how many real high end courses do we have here? Like 20? 25?
There's quite a few, but I would probably say someplace like the Phoenix area has quite a few as well.
They do, but I don't. You know, those are kind of resort stuff. Yeah, I mean, I've played probably five of the nicest ones down in Phoenix, and they're nice, but just the ones you drive by every day here, you don't realize how nice they are. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You've got...
Well, that's true.
I mean, for God's sake, you got Medina, you got Olympia, you got Butler, you got mm-hmm. Cargill, you got... But even your... Beverly is spectacular. You know, Skokie, Evanston, I mean, they're mm-hmm. all... You know, all, you know, have had tournaments and stuff on them at some point.
Yeah.
And, but this, the North Course is where they had the 2003 Open?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have the BMW next year. So if you were playing the tips, Brendan, I mean, which of course, that ship has sailed, you pile out the first hole into the wind. Yesterday is 646. Second is 467, par four. That's coming out of the gate into the wind. Have a nice day. So the thing stretches to 7,400 yards, and the par is only 70. That's hitting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And you got that stupid creek is running like a mother now that all this rain. It's probably on half the holes, it seems. A couple of holes it's on twice. Run all over the place at Thorn Creek. And,
so how much under 70 did you shoot?
We were in a three-person scramble, and I've played, this is the second time in 3 years, so I'm pathetic. But I was the best of the three of us. I mean, the one guy can't hit the ball at all. The other guy's hip so bad he can barely walk. Plus, we didn't even have a fourth for the scramble. So we parred a few holes. We had a 90 for the scramble. We got a triple bogey the first hole. But then we played a little better after that. Fortunately, there was virtually no hole where like three people whacked the drive and we had to choose among the three fortunately, somebody kind of hit something every time, and the other two, there were balls that were 10 feet, you know, that kind of thing. You hit the fairway first, the ball went nowhere, and the divot outplayed the ball, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad. Greg hit one where the tee. I never saw one where the tee went four times farther than the ball. And, you know, that's a new low. But, and our poor caddy, all he did was pick up crummy balls all over the place. And plus, he was a caddy. He never watched Caddyshack. I mean, what the hell?
What?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was illegal.
I assume this kid was, what, 17?
No, he's... I asked him if he was an Evan Scholar. He goes, no, I'm 23.
Well, either way, 23. So he was born in, what, 96, 97?
Yeah.
You know, it's not surprising he hasn't seen Caddyshack.
No. I'm not so sure it's a... It's a huge hit in African-American homes anyway. But anyway, he nice kid and did a nice job. He took care of us, let's put it that way. But we hate, like, those fairways are so perfect. You hate like hell to take a big chunk out of one, which we, of course, did. But anywho, the market was up a little bit yesterday. We seem to be constantly moving to the upside here on earnings that, you know, I guess are beating expectations, but are not as... You know, they're certainly not buoyant compared to last year. And some of them are downright, I mean, you look at the Citigroup, if you took away the stock they bought back, Brendan, then, you know, they weren't up at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they actually were a lot lower.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some, you know, there's definitely a move in this country to keep the market up, you know, especially going into the election. And, you know, I don't, you know, some places looks like it's slowing down, some people not. So I read this article last night regarding Elizabeth Warren came out and said she's talking about this big recession. And everybody, of course, when I say everybody, the powers that be, of course, pile in and start saying how wrong she is about this and how she's looking at all the wrong stuff. And if you look at the economy right now, I could pretty much paint a picture for you, and I bet if you helped, Brendan, we could really paint a picture. You could paint a picture of whatever we wanted to paint. All you have to do is go back and forth between, if you're going to be somewhat negative, all you have to do is use the median numbers, and if you're positive, all you have to use is the mean numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really just that easy.
Yeah, you can certainly construct an argument either way.
And I think it has to do with just how much you use the statistics. And people were talking about how even though she's worried about debt numbers, personal debt, student debt, and everything else, claiming that it's reached levels that have, that essentially were before the recession started. And she's absolutely correct with that, which is those are numbers that I talk about a lot. Okay, but the, when you start looking at, but when you drop into the mean, here's what these people are talking about. She's correct in pointing out the aggregate levels have increased. Non-housing debt has jumped from $2.6 trillion in the mid-2009 as the last recession was ending to $4.0 trillion at the end of the first quarter of 2019, an increase of almost 53%, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge lot, especially when we're the greatest economy ever, you know, that we can keep yelling at. So you shouldn't have massive debt load going up. You know, some debt going up, yes, because as people have more money, they're probably going to carry a little more debt. I get that part. But then they're talking about household net worth currently stands at $108.6 trillion, more than double the $50 trillion where it was in June 2009. Well, this market's gone up by 2.5 times. So it's all market. And some of it's household, but it's all market, right? You're not talking about people's safety deposit box. You're not talking about... If you take the market out of there, if the market drops 50%, you're right back to that number, right? So we're really talking about asset-based pricing. And not everybody's in the market. But now they're saying the household debt, total household debt is $15.7 trillion, which is 14.4% of total net worth. I'm going to say if you were to take the top 5% out of those numbers, they totally spin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting good at reading this stuff, aren't I?
Mean, yes, you are.
I know just what people are, what they're saying and what their message is. What did Tom Selleck
and where
say,
to find the numbers.
Yeah, what did Tom Selleck say in Blue Bloods? When somebody over the age of 17, the minute they open their mouth, you know their agenda. So they're saying in June 2009, total household debt was $13.9 trillion, or 27% of total net worth. Again, drop the market a little bit and take the top 1% out of here, and all of a sudden these numbers look pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm not saying that you know that things aren't better, and I'm not. But the point is, if you don't keep your eye on just what's happening, you're never going to improve things. You're never going to fix anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you end up doing is lying to yourself, which is about the, you know, it's like, you know, me looking in the mirror and say, there's a skinny guy. You know, I mean, it's, is there somebody else standing there next to you? I mean, what, that type of thing. You know, so, I mean, you think, you really do have to be careful of this stuff. It's, and they're talking about the, student loan debt, $1.6 trillion, more than double as it was in 2009, and some 9.5% borrowers are in serious delinquency, compared with 9.0% a year ago. Auto debt is $1.3 trillion, a record. But now they're saying that because people are making so much money working, that the people that are, that all of a sudden they can handle the debt. I think the people, if you take all these numbers together, and like I say, this is what I used to do for, this was my job for actually Pullman in a lot of places. Brandon, I was the, what we used to call it? I was the sensitivity analysis guy. Now, what is that outside of a dating relationship? If you put together a project, we did that with the CBOE when we were going to buy the P-Coast. And, well, I did it because they didn't have anybody there who was a financial analyst. But most guys, that's what you could do coming out of school. That's what a financial analyst did. But it's funny, what I found out after doing it countless times, Brendan, was you could take a project, and even if it was supposed to be a five-year project, if you took any one of the variables, say there's a bunch of variables. There's, you know, getting your stuff from your suppliers, finishing in 5 years, getting the first car or plane or whatever it is out in 1 year or something. There's like 10 things there that you want to have happen that you're looking at, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look at an inflation during a program. You look at this. What I found after, you know, many of these things is you can take kind of one variable and really mess with it, and probably doesn't impact, especially if you got a 10 or 20% profit built in, it probably doesn't mess with your break even all that much. But if you take two or three variables and move them like 10%, it really screws things up. So, I mean, this whole article, I think if you drop the market 15% and you take the top 1% of people out of there, I think you can really make these numbers sing a different song. Just saying. It doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just, if I wrote it, would say it with four different agendas, this article would look different four different ways using the same numbers.
But isn't that true about everything? I mean, all of the political sides, that you skew the numbers to support your argument. It's not looking at the analysis, it's not looking at the data and then reaching a conclusion. It's reaching a conclusion and then finding a way that the numbers support your conclusion.
But that's really bad government, it's bad business, it's bad everything.
Well, I know that. I'm not arguing that point, but I'm just saying that when you're going into a political battle, when you're going in for a re-election, you will reach the conclusion that you want, that we're in the greatest economy ever, and you will skew the numbers and look for the numbers to support that argument and discount anything else that's not along that line.
I definitely get that. And there's room in all these things. Like I said, depending on your agenda, there's room to make different cases. But at some point, you have to hope that the population that gets educated to the point where, I mean, Brent, the first, I don't mean economics classes you took, the first class I took the first week, the professor said, you know, this unemployment rate number, like, really sucks. It was 45 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, guess what? We still have people quoting it. It still sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right? I mean, do you think that the Illinois, Chicago, do you think that with all the taxes and the things they're pounding on people here, are they gaining it on turning the bus around to the point where that's enough, or are we still not even close?
Oh, no, we're not even close. we're not even close. When you look at particularly the pension liability that's coming down the road, there are going to be significant hits. There have to be significant hits. Revenue streams, either in the form of taxes or fees or something, to start making a dent in that.
Well, what do you do when you honestly in your heart of hearts, and Pritzker, I mean, I'm very not impressed, but And he thinks everybody's like him. It's just a question to get more money out of him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of the people that I talk to, you've reached the point where you can't get more blood out of that turnip.
Right.
And what do you do when that happens? Where you drop another, you know, some number on somebody who lives in a hood, and a neighborhood, not any kind of specific neighborhood, and everybody in the neighborhood's making 55 grand, and you up everybody's taxes another 1,000, and they go, mm-hmm. You know what? We just can't pay it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's already pounding on housing prices quite a bit.
Well, it is. And I think eventually you're going to see a situation where people will move. They'll have to move, or else services will have to be cut dramatically, or somebody will actually have to face the elephant in the room, the pension situation. And, I really think that if there was enough political courage, that this would be the time to face the political question on the Illinois Constitution. If they're going to go ahead and put on the ballot the question about the income tax, why not also put on the pension reform to see where that would go? Now, I think the reason that they're not doing that is that they're afraid that both will be rejected. That the pension reform will be approved, that they can allow the change in the Constitution to change the pension reform, have pension reform, but not allow for increased income taxes. I think that's going to be a hard sell. And if they do both of them, which I think they should, I think that the fear is that the pension will be adopted and the income tax won't.
Well, right now, today, let's say if you, everybody who, I use the term stole, but knowing full well that 90% of the people didn't steal anything out of there, they just took their pension. But there's probably, I'm gonna guess it's at least 10% of people game the system.
Hard to tell how much, but you know, most of the people who are in the Illinois pension system are not making a lot of money. I mean, it's.
Oh, I understand.
I mean, still, you're looking at most people that are making $45,000 a year.
The run of the mill teacher, the rank and file, I'm with you. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, but there's, let's pick out the people that have two.
Oh, yeah. Well, not only two, but those who got a huge boost because of their school district approving a small raise at the end of their tenure that gets compounded almost immediately because of the laws.
Yep.
Or people who do have two or three different pensions, including, as you pointed out a few times here, your friend, the former mayor, who went down to be a substitute teacher for one day and increased his pension dramatically under state law.
Right.
And, of course, what's the reply? Well, it's legal. I work within the rules.
Yeah, I work within the rules. And you know what? An awful lot of the population feel that if you game the system, you deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to pay for it, but they deserve it. Right?
Well, I think there are a lot more people who don't believe that.
I think so, too. But, I mean, there's people that feel that once you've had it for two or three years, you can't take it away from somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But right now, today, why are we giving somebody a pension check who's not disabled before they're 65?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, Ram's first, I won't say first, one of his first acts in mayor, as a mayor, and I still have the piece of paper here somewhere, his first year they tried to force out policemen that were over 55, they put them into early retirement, and they said they'd pick up their medical till they were 65.
Mm-hmm.
Could anything be stupider? There are probably a few things, but...
Well, when you say, could anything be stupider, it completely depends on what you're trying to do. If you're trying to lower the city's budget, just lower the city's budget on an annual basis, that's a smart thing because you're taking those people off the payroll. On a global, a broader analysis, it's stupid because you're putting them into a system where they're going to be paid for an extra 10 years of their life expectancy at a very high rate, especially when you take into account the compounding and, as you mentioned, the medical care for 10 years.
But if you work at Social Security, if you take your Social Security when you're 62 and you make 100 grand that year, you got to give your Social Security back. Well, I mean, I'm going to say 80% of it.
Part of it, yeah.
Why can you boot a guy at 55, he gets a full pension, and he goes and works as a security guard making as much as he did before?
Well, it was even worse than that for a while. I think it's no longer the case. But you used to be able to retire from a role in the city government and come back as a consultant, in some cases doing almost the exact same job, sometimes even at the exact same desk, but now you're a consultant. You're getting your pension, and you're getting a consulting fee.
My brother Dan knows a lady. I won't say what little town on the south side. She's a librarian, and she's there, you know, 27, 30 years, and has worked her way up. She went and got a master's, whatever. So she's making, what are you thinking, 65, maybe, 70, something like that?
Okay.
And you know, I don't begrudge, I mean, she's been there forever, got the degrees and whatever. You know, should it be 55, should it be 70? I have no idea. But whatever it is, that's what she's making. So they decide, we can save some money if we dump her, not saying she's old, and bring somebody in who's, I'll say, not younger, but a starter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they dump her, give her a pension, which, like you say, goes to the state. Now it's not coming out of whatever town this is, and hopefully they don't slip and give the name. So they hire the new girl. So what do you think happens to the new girl who's in her 20s?
Well, she stays in the ranks for another couple of years.
No, she immediately gets pregnant. Which happens to people in their 20s and 30s, and sometimes in their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And so she takes off, whatever. I'm sure they have a very generous plan, which, you know, I don't know. Last time I checked, pregnancy is somewhat of a voluntary thing. But anyway, so she gets, whatever, how many months off paid, and how many months off she can just take, right? And so say she's off for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they're paying her. They're paying a pension on the old lady. So what do you suppose, older lady, what do you suppose the solution is?
Well, they've got to hire somebody else to be the librarian.
Not necessarily.
Or they cut the services.
No. You bring the older lady back as a consultant. So now, in the place of the one person, you're now paying three people. The consultant, the pension, and the person who's pregnant,
mm-hmm.
or now has a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Is this any sort of common sense?
Well, I can't argue that it's commonsensical, but...
yeah. And this is what... And you wonder why we're broke.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I just... And other people... I mean, that's when I look at these numbers from the Carl has taught me to look at. By the way, I should never forgive him for that. We're reaching a point where there's not enough workers to pay for all these other people. I mean, and if it goes much further, I think we got a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be, you know, two people working for one people not working.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're pushing 3-2.
Well, it's getting pretty bad because of the baby boomer generation. The baby boomer generation was on both sides of that equation. When they were in the workforce, they were, you know, supporting the previous generations who were able to step aside and retire. And the numbers were there supporting them. Now that the baby boomers are aging and retiring, there's not enough people left in the workforce to support
them. I mean, most of those people, you know, most is a odd term, but most of those people, at least the people you and I know, again, I'm stumbling here because I don't want to make generalizations, but a lot of those people did save up. I mean, my clients, okay, they're retired, most
mm-hmm.
of them.
Mm-hmm.
They have the 401k, you know, say that, or that roll in IRA that I manage, or other people there, a bunch of people, whatever it is, there is being managed. So they saved up, they did essentially their stuff, for lack of a better term, and they're getting Social Security. So which is, you know, $2,200 a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, we're not talking about somebody who's 35 going on a long-term disability.
Right.
I mean, as drains on the economy go, it's not much of a drain.
But I think there are fewer people than you think that are in that category where they've got a 401k and they've got a lot of savings. I think the numbers are much different than that. And while your clientele might have been in that box.
Well, I understand. I get the different. But, I mean, when we come back from break, let's talk about it. Because I think the people I'm talking about are somehow or another going on this long-term disability when they're 40. But they're not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, S&P futures up 875. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
March 13th.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Brendan Cornan, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. I'm Mr. Joel O'Connor in a second. S&P futures up 9.25. NASDAQ futures up 31.75. Dow up 100. Individual stocks moving in the Dow. We got Apple up to 208.16, up 94 cents. I listened to somebody give a big analysis the other day. We got UTX up 327, I believe they had earnings. The guy kind of took them apart. He said nobody wants to pay $1,000 for a cell phone. The new cell phones, there's nothing, no reason to get a new one versus an old one. And he doesn't know where the hell they're going with this. And yet, stock has done very, very well this year, and looks like it's not really stopping at all. Around the rest of the world, But by the way, if you haven't heard, Boris Johnson has become the new UK Prime Minister after winning a leadership race, and we're thinking he and Trump are like oil and water, I believe. DAX up 203, that's 1.6%, FTSE up 48.4%, CAC around up 48.8%, so pretty good rally in Europe. Asia, Nikkei up 204, that's up full 1%. Shanghai up 12, that's 0.4%. Shanghai and Hang Seng, it didn't come back all the way from what they were down yesterday, but they're up a little bit. Hang Seng up 95, that's 0.3%. We've got oil, 55.93, that's down 29 cents. Brent 62.83, that's down 43 cents. RBOB gas 182. And we've got gold down $4, still 14.22. Silver hanging in there at 16.41. Matty, what do you got for us, Travis Weather Sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a pretty good start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. We've had issues on the inbound Dan Ryan all morning. Apparently they were late picking up construction equipment, and that set the whole morning back. So the Dan Ryan is pretty jammed up from 47th Street into downtown, but no accidents to report. Outbound side looks okay. No issues coming in on the Bishop Ford or I-57. Traffic building on the Stevenson and Eisenhower, but no accidents to report. Same for the Kennedy. Edens looks good. Off the expressways, one crash in the area. That's Gulf Road at Harlem Avenue in the north suburbs, but everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine, a beautiful Chicago weather day, partly cloudy skies, a high of 78. Right now it's clear and 64 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy today with a high of 106. Right now it's overcast and 83. In sports, Cubs had a 3-0 lead and a 4-2 lead in the eighth before Pedro Strop completely imploded, giving up 3 earned runs, and the Giants topped the Cubs in come-from-behind fashion 5-4. White Sox blew out the Marlins at guaranteed rate last night 9-1, but the bigger story was the White Sox became the first team to put netting up from foul pole to foul pole, and last night was the opening game with that. Interested to hear fans that were actually at the game last night what they thought of that. Lastly, the Diamondbacks beat the Orioles 6-3. And before we go to Joel, we'll say this sports weather traffic update was brought to you by Luckbox Magazine. The guide to money and probability is available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. And Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription by going to luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Chief.
One comment on the netting is, since we were behind it a little bit in our seats at Wrigley, if you have to look through it directly, it's not so bad, but if you have to look at an angle, like if you're out in the outfield, I'm guessing it's not so good.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. I don't know.
I would think that's true.
Just saying, Joel, how are you?
Good morning, Chief. How you doing?
Doing all right. Spencer kept saying, Joel who?
Yeah, actually, I do have an update on small business lending in Michigan, and it's up 42.6%.
Banks or other people?
Yeah, banks loading to banks. Now, that's the last time I send you a note to tell you to take it easy on Spencer. Next time, I'll tell you to be really hard on him. He knows his sports and the markets, too, so I hope you got some of that out of him.
We did, and we got a lot about who's doing the lending, and we got something about he's the corporate rally, he's reaching around Joel and kicking him off the rung underneath him or something about that. I don't know what he was talking about.
How's everyone? How you guys doing?
Doing
in
good.
Chicago? You guys enjoying this bull market?
If we just make the expectations low enough. I was talking earlier about Elizabeth Warren was talking about a recession because of the debt levels, and then somebody, you know, obviously from the other side wrote this article regarding how she's all, you know, basically full of crap. And I was saying earlier, if you go back and forth in your statistics and you use the mean where you want to and the median where you want to, you could pretty much make any case there is. Because if you look at the mean averages and you keep the 1%ers in there, all your debt levels don't seem so high. But if you pull...
Correct.
If you look at the median person, the debt levels are way worse than they were 9 years ago or 15 years ago. So it depends on how and where you look.
I mean, it's hard to argue those statistics. I mean, you know, the debt level. I mean, if you want to go back to, to go back to 10, 11 years, the debt level was predicated, you know, primarily on the housing market, right? And people being in above their means, and then being above that, they were borrowing against that. So, I don't know how you can compare the debt levels. It was false debt. They were borrowing money on a depreciating asset. Now I just think they're just racking up the debt. Probably what they're doing is probably maxing out their credit cards to buy stocks. Is what I'm thinking.
Well, we're talking about auto loans are huge. Student loans are huge. But I have a question for you, Mavens.
Okay.
We'll only take a couple seconds on this one. We don't want to spend much time. But I thought it was somewhat interesting. Adjusted for inflation and ticket prices, what would be the three top grossing movies of all time?
Gone with the Wind.
Where would you put them?
What's wrong with this guy? That was one of the movies I was going to say. If we're thinking on the same way, go ahead.
You were going to say that?
I just had to jump in there before you did.
Inflation,
yep.
And what else?
Well, it was the how many people were here in the country, how many people bought tickets. So you're adjusting the amount of people that would have gone, and you're adjusting the ticket price. By the way, Gone with the Wind, ding, 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 number one.
Very
that's
nice.
That's number one.
So okay. Number two.
Okay, I don't know which Disney movie, but I'd have to say there's a Disney movie up there. Maybe, I don't know, Snow White or something like that?
They're in the top ten, but
I'm going with the Disney movie.
I'm gonna say you are, let's see, Snow White would be number ten.
Oh, Snow White's number ten here. Star Wars?
Ding, 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 number two. You guys are good.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed.
And I'm not even looking on the internet here. So,
no, I am.
Gone with the Wind, Star Wars, so really nothing recent. What'd you say?
Well, the number five is very recent. It's pretty recent.
You say it's a pretty recent
movie. Well, I mean, not the 30s.
Man, it can't be. What's your partner have to say? Does he have a guess?
Then the other one most recent here. Well first of all, it's number three.
I know that Avatar and Avengers are up there for the recent ones.
Not according to if you adjust
Avatar. Everything. I'm going to go with Maddie. Maddie and Spencer are coming up with the same thing.
No.
I mean, they're the highest grossing movies of all time, but when you adjust for inflation, I don't know where that puts them.
Well, they're also adjusting for the amount of people.
Right, which, yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'll give you the number three, Sound of Music.
Ah, okay.
Ah, there you go, an oldie. I wouldn't call that recent, Chief. How old are you?
I didn't say. They said number five was recent.
Yeah, because that's from the 60s as well. That was 65. What, 64, 65?
Number four, E.T.
Mm-hmm. E.T. was a good one.
E.T.
Yep.
was on the tip of my tongue. Like, I thought that would be definitely in the top five.
Number five, I actually picked this one.
If you were growing up and you were a young kid and you saw E.T. in your backyard, I mean, would you go up and, like, you know, give them an M&M, or would you, like, take a shovel to it or something?
Well, it doesn't look like a rat. I mean,
I don't know. I wouldn't be, like, walking out there trying to talk to it. If I was a little kid, I'd be going the opposite direction.
Well, let's see. The one recent would be Titanic.
Okay.
That's, and even that's over 20 years ago. Yeah.
All right, Joel, what about the market? Is there a spot here where we sell? David thinks
is
that
there
we...
Is there a sell on your keyboard, Chief? I mean, you got lower interest rates, right? Maybe they should just go a full point. You know, just get it out of the way. Just knock it off before. I mean, get us down to zero. No, I mean, you got earnings season, as you mentioned. You have some lower expectations, and I don't know, maybe some of these countries that are affected by the tariffs. But so far, so good.
I would agree with that. What?
I mean, if you want an exact number in the S&Ps, I'd say 30.2350 would be my uncle point. That's the all-time high, and you back that up with another high at 30.2150. So technically speaking, there's your resistance, but we just keep continuing to turn higher. It doesn't, like, so far earnings season's going to turn that around yet.
Well, we had a bad week last week, and we've had a couple of, well, we had a day yesterday was up.
Bad week. We had a bad day on Friday because at the end of the month, imbalances, end of the quarter, nothing. I mean, we sold off, we bounced right back. But you're right, that was our correction last week. The S&P sold off 40 handles.
Well, so if we come up, if we come up a little bit here, if we come up back 20, what's Fibonacci? Two-thirds? If we go up two-thirds, then that's a spot, right?
I'm done figuring retracements in this market, Chief. I mean, whatever. We went from 30, 20, 70, 50, 25. We're right back up here. 29.95, I would call that, but that's just halfway back of a small break.
Joel, does it cause you...
If you want to go 50%, I don't believe in the .682 or the .318. I'm just a 50% guy. It makes it a little bit easier to follow.
Joel, thank you very much. Probably talk to you next week. Go blue.
Go blue.
S&P futures up 850. NASDAQ futures up 27.50. Be right back, Mr. Kenny Polcari.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters. The Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Howe. This is Brennan Cornan. He's Mr. Mayweather. Crazy stuff we do on break. SP futures up 8.25 and NASDAQ futures up 26.75. So, Kenny, I think you would agree there needs to be a rule, a law passed, since we have a lot of other stupid laws, that if you say something like, this was only one of six horror films ever nominated for Academy Award, that you should be obligated to give the other five.
Yes.
Instead of having to go look for them. But anyway, how are you, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
It's Tuesday morning down here in Palm Beach. When you're nice, apparently in New York, it's raining, you need it off. But it's all good here.
I played the Olympia Fields North Course yesterday, Kenny.
Oh, good for you.
We're for the U.S. Open. Oh, well, it was a scramble and we sucked. I'm terrible. Let's put it this way.
Listen.
Back when I could hit the ball pretty decent, my club's got to be 30 years old and I have S300 shafts, because I used to be a pretty big hitter.
Right.
Let's just say you look at me and you look at those clubs and you say there's no match now. There's no club head speed that needs needs that sort of equipment, shall we say. I need like some fiberglass noodle shaft now or something. I don't type of
right.
Thing. One that when you're coming through the ball, the club's still around your neck, that type of thing. That's the kind I need now.
Yeah, I just need a club that lets me hit the ball.
Well, what do you mean?
I am by no means a golfer. As a matter of fact, I love when they say it's such a relaxing sport. I want to kill somebody by the second.
Oh yeah, it's the world's most frustrating game. A good walk ruined or something? A nice walk ruined?
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you make of where does Boris Johnson going to put the European / British / tariff negotiations plus minus? Where are we going with this guy?
Well, it's interesting. Certainly he's looking to take the UK out of Brexit. He said that if you saw his speech this morning 20 minutes ago when he stood up. You know, he's intent on taking him out of Brexit. You know, he's trying to appeal to the hardline anti-EUers that are over there in the UK. And listen, they voted for it, so it is what it is, but we've seen how that has been a very difficult kind of divorce, right? With Theresa May at such a difficult time trying to negotiate themselves out. He's going to come in and plans on by October 31st taking him out. So, you know, a lot is going to be a very interesting couple of months
But he's going to plan on doing that.
I think that is part of why he had such strong support. One way or the other, I'm not really sure what it's going to mean yet. You know, what's it going to mean for U.S. and U.K.
He's not
relationship. I don't think that's affected at all. I think, you know, our relationship with the U.K. continues to be strong, remains strong, is strong. So I don't think that's an issue.
Well, Trump doesn't like the guy, right?
Well, he may not like the guy, but you know, you can say that of a lot of people in Trump, right?
Right.
Who likes him? I mean, you know, you can go back and forth on that. But he is who he is, and so they'll have to, you know, as grown adult men leading two different countries, are going to have to get along.
You really believe
that?
You
know, we're allies. It's not like we're not allies. We're allies. So it behooves both of them, you know, to get along, right?
Now, is he a competing party? Either one of you? I mean, he's not the same party as Theresa May.
The Conservative Party, right? Wasn't she? Was she not the Conservative Party? I was for sure she was.
Okay, so they're both the same party. But they were.
Yeah.
But they were at different edges of the party, shall we say?
Well, they were at different edges within the same party.
Right.
Different edges, kind of like the way we see the squad in this country with Nancy Pelosi. Right, they're the same party, but one way different edges.
Right. I would. Well, here I think we have I don't know, Kenny, I don't want to go politics on it, but it seems to me that I've watched these, the stuff on the, you know, Face the Nation and everything. I don't think, this is our game. You're in my wheelhouse, Brendan too, even though he's more from the lawyer side of it. The politics of money and the politics of markets and loan and lending and Federal Reserve, this is our game. This is what we study all day long. I'm sure, if somebody put up a building, we wouldn't know if it was going to fall down or not, right? But
right.
You listen to some of these people that are elected officials. Kenny, I think there needs to be an economics 101 class somewhere. Some of these people are idiots.
I think absolutely, and I think that was obvious last week when you saw, you know, we talked about this, right? When Powell gets up in front of the House, he makes his biannually Humphrey Hawkins testimony. He tries to talk to them about not only policy, monetary policy, the role that fiscal policy plays, where rates are going, where he thinks they're. I think all that stuff is, you know, very interesting when Powell gets up or one of the Fed chairs gets up and discusses it, but I think it becomes glaringly obvious that there are so many members of Congress on either side, you know, on either side of the aisle, I'm not picking on one of the other sides, but on either side, and in either house, that don't understand it enough. Yet they're on the Financial Services Committee, they're on these, you know, on these monetary policy committees, and I think it's, I think it's glaringly obvious when they start asking questions and you sit there and you're in this business and you scratch it and you're going, what? Where did that come from?
I was stunned at the, did you watch any of the testimony against the Facebook and the new, alternative currency?
I watched a lot of it. I mean, you know, I had it on in the background and I was watching it during the day. But yeah, go ahead, ask your question.
No, I was just saying I don't know who was, in my opinion, louder and less prepared. The blonde lady ranting and raving about how there needs to be more regulation about something she didn't even understand. And the goofball right. took out the $20 bill, and he was ranting and raving about this $20 bill's worth everything everywhere. And right. how could the guy
and
not understand?
Can use it.
Yeah, how could the guy not understand that the only reason why people are looking for alternatives is that the $20 bill is becoming less and less useful by the hour?
Right.
But how does he not right. know that?
Well, listen. I think underlying, you're right. I agree that was a little bit off the charts. But I think underlying there is real concern, certainly about the role that Libra is going to play, how it could actually change, you know, global currency system, and certainly the role that Facebook is going to play in it. I think those are all very legitimate concerns. Listen, I think it's ugly going to happen. I think there's a lot of work to do, but I think at some point it does solve a lot of problems in terms of currency and around the world and being able to, you know, move money around the world. And I can take this Libra and go to Europe, or I can go to South America, or I can go to Asia and trade and buy stuff in that common currency. So I think at some point it is going to happen. I think though that the issues that they brought up and the who controls it, who kind of regulates it, who's got access to it. You know, his point was, the guy with the $20 bill was that, you know, is Facebook going to be the one setting now policy? Who can use it? Who can't?
Well,
use it,
right? But if our people abdicate and decide that the monetary system is going to be controlled by people who want to see what everybody else is doing, there's going to be resistance to that. You can't do
well,
both.
Of course there is, and I think that's exactly the point, right? So how do we get over that hurdle? Who, what role? I mean, these, in my opinion, none of those people that are in this consortium to build this Libra should be people that are controlling it, right? I think it has to be controlled by kind of a central bank, whether it becomes a global central bank or whether it's the central banks around the world that partner up and then control it. But I certainly don't think that Facebook or Google or Amazon or Microsoft should be at all in a position where they're controlling it, where they have access to it. I mean, look, that whole argument about Facebook and privacy, and whether it's Amazon, privacy with Amazon, privacy with Google, privacy with Alexa, privacy with Facebook, I think that's a real problem in this country, and I don't think people have begun to understand the real problem that is.
Kenny, if you can do it, I would love to have a half hour with you and I and Brendan. Let's talk about just this issue, because I tell you what, I think we should have a half hour segment, and we should send it off like to YouTube or someplace, because yeah. I think what you just said, it's interesting because you bring those guys involved, but now all of a sudden a lot of people are saying, I don't want the government knowing everything I'm doing either. There's that much difference.
Yeah, but the government knows now because of the banking, right? In my case, or our case, if I go to the bank and I try to transfer money to whoever, you know, I get asked a million and one questions, right? And people want to know where it's going, where did it come from, where did you get it from, how long has it been sitting in there, why are you sending it to this person? So somebody knows, and I get a lot of that is because of anti-money laundering, and you know, I get that.
Why? 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 You didn't sign up for that. Why? I mean, who are these people? They're not catching anybody overseas. They're not doing anything. They're just running up tabs on the population. It's not like, I happen to know, unfortunately, four or five of my best friends that have had money, like, you know, stolen, wired out, that type
yep.
of thing. And every single case, the government did not help, did not go after the person, did not do anything. They are useless. And now they're going to come back down on you. So, I mean, I'm kind of ranting on this a little bit, but the reason why people want to use Libra is because of what they just put you through.
Well, okay, that may be true, but and I don't have a problem necessarily with creating a currency like Libra. The problem is, at least for me, and I think for a lot of people, is who's in control of it? Who's the one who's really watching where it goes? And who's, you know, you're giving up a lot of that data to who? To Facebook? Really?
Okay, but I guess my point is, there will be people who will say, Mr. Polcari, Facebook, government, who do you trust less?
You know, I don't. I'm not a Facebook user. I don't use Facebook.
No, but I'm not. I don't use it at all. What I'm saying is, I'm not. By the way, I wouldn't be making that argument to you. But there's a reason
right.
why your government doesn't want you to use cash. They don't trust you. They want to know everything you're doing, and a lot of people are resisting
right.
that. I mean, I think.
I think the world is changing. I think you're right. It's all about, you know, Big Brother. I agree with that. And I don't think any of us signed up for Big Brother, at least not in this country we didn't sign up
no.
for Big Brother, but Big Brother's here. no matter what you do. My phone right now, I'm talking to you. My phone is recording this whole conversation. God only knows where it's going, right?
Yeah.
I'm sitting in my room talking to somebody else. The phone is recording the conversation. Or Alexa, or Google, you know, what the Google Home Assistant. Everyone's listening to everything.
Well, I don't have Alexa. I can turn the light on myself.
Yeah, I don't have Alexa.
I mean,
and, you know, it's funny. When I go to somebody's house that has Alexa, call me paranoid, whatever, you know, I prefer to turn the Alexa off. I just turn it off because... It's almost eerie, right? You feel like someone's eavesdropping on the conversation. For what reason?
Did you watch the... we'll let you go, but the NCIS, two or three episodes before the end of the season, somebody burglarized somebody's house, and that's how they found out who burglarized the place. They hacked into the Alexa. You know what? I'm sure they're not far off. Kenny, well, maybe we'll schedule it. I tell you, I think our currency conversation should be one that we really focus on, because maybe we should send it to our elected representatives.
Yeah, well, let's do it. We can send it. Why can't we send it?
We can. Well, right? Maddie Weber can
do
anything.
Like you said, put it out on YouTube and then see if it goes viral.
Imagine you and me being viral. That'd be something. But they can't put our pictures on it. They would do two old farts go viral. See ya. SB Futures up 875. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's J-O-H-N at PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Hello, North Bay Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly. Mr. Brennan Cornan. Mr. Jeff Joseph. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 10 now. It's the highest we've been. NASDAQ futures up 32. The companies that reported last night are pretty much all up. I got Coca-Cola is up $1.48 to $52.70. We've got UTEX up $3 to $136. So they're all kind of moving in the right direction. Right direction if you're long. So and most people are. Most of my clients are. So I would say the right direction. Mr. Jeff Joseph, I'm going to run one by you. I've been saving this for you since for the weekend.
Good morning.
Good morning, yes. What? See, this is what happens when you're a Stocks and Jacks technical guru. What is a click farm?
A click farm?
Yeah.
In terms of clickbait?
No, they're talking about it's the Yahoo Finance thing. So China has these things
sure,
now.
Sure.
A shadowy internet industry is booming in China. And they have racks and racks of phones that evidently click through to people so they can increase their advertising something or other.
Sure. A click farm would be a bot-driven enterprise that seeks to increase the amount of clicks that something gets and taps into user information, privacy data. Or to promote advertising, you know, in the same way that clickbait does in digital publications. The whole thing of generating clicks is a way to monetize your editorial content. So anything that generates clicks can either monetize advertising, monetize editorial, and it's often fake. It's one of the reasons that Facebook purged the estimates vary right now, but they've acknowledged purging at least 3 billion user accounts already, because those clicks on Facebook ads and Facebook editorial have inflated the value to the advertiser. Consequently, the advertisers had to pay more based on phony clicks. And China does the same thing. They promote different either editorial content or advertising for the purpose of generating higher revenue from that. And that's all done artificially through bots.
Well, this one, they actually have racks and racks of, like, every used cell phone you ever threw away, and they're all just dialing away, clicking into stuff.
So that's being done on a mobile basis, right?
Well, I mean, no, they're all just on this huge... Right. Looks like a cell phone store, and they're all working.
Hmm.
So is it the traffic-driven and metric-obsessed digital economy, the use case of click farms expanding beyond promoting apps. People use it to inflate post views, to attract advertisers, boost video views, and game their search results on e-file. I imagine you could do this for any kind of poll. You probably could do it for tweets. You probably could do it for politics either. Click farms use an automated process, hacks into the normal app store optimization. What the hell is that? App store optimization. Which requires developers to use certain keywords and descriptions and attract users, blah, blah, blah. And promote apps by imitating a real user by searching for certain keywords, clicking on the app and downloading. So these things actually do searches, find the app and click. So they start from the beginning.
Right.
Which is wild.
Yeah. So it's the answer to the question is fake news real? Right?
Fake news. You would like it if everybody did that to your magazines as long as they sent you the $8.
Which magazine?
The Luck Box.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. we don't care if they're clicking as long as we get the check.
Sure. Luck Box magazine. Well, we offer it to your listeners for free.
Yes.
So figure that one out.
You were going to tell us this week about the new edition.
The new edition, actually, we're waiting to see it today. This morning, we expect to have it from the printer. It'll be released free to Stocks and Jocks listeners tomorrow if you register according to the information that Matt provides later. But this issue is on the anxiety economy, so it's focused on everything from fidget spinners, fidget cubes, gravity blankets, to CBD, THC, pharmaceuticals, and the emerging economy around anxiety, mental disorders, which affect 18.1% of Americans, 400 million globally, and has become an economy unto itself that will be worth $25 billion in about a year or so. So the primary emphasis is on CBD. We look really deeply into the non-psychoactive.
Do you realize how far you are ahead of me? I was in Myers Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. I walked by this big display where they've got gravity blankets. My first thought was, what in hell is that?
How about it, right?
And here you've got an article in the magazine like 3 months ahead of me. Imagine that.
Over 270,000 of those have been sold.
My first question is, how heavy are they?
Actually, there's an answer. I'm going to take a stab at it because I think I recall this from someone's research. But it's either 10 to 15% of your body weight is the appropriate weight for a body blanket, for a gravity blanket. So there's actually some sort of science to that. But the idea, you know, it's part of our...
So there's no one-size-fits-all?
No. No, there's one. There's no... Costco gravity blanket. Right?
Well, so if you pick one of these things off the top shelf and you're like some 80-year-old lady, she's going to break her arm or what?
Yeah, you'll never see her again.
Never see her again.
Right. God. She'll be.
So who did all the research on that? It sounds fascinating. I might have them on as a guest.
Our team, our editorial team. They've been working on it for a couple months.
Have you tried one of these? Gravity blanket?
I tried many of the things. In fact, we did a lot of reviews, everything from CBD cocktails, CBD ingestibles, CBD topicals, THC-infused sugar, which I personally did the review of, which was interesting. We did some an anxiety-reducing watch that sends vibrations. We did a review of fidget cubes and fidget spinners, and we did not a gravity blanket, but a sauna blanket.
What's that?
It's a blanket that you wrap yourself in, you cocoon in it for the most part, and it's like a portable sauna. It's very interesting. It's from a company called Higher Dose.
Then what do? You have to throw it in the wash, I assume.
You just wipe it down with water, and we use it several times, it's actually interesting. It's not a nice summer product, but...
Do you just put it on over your clothes? Do you have to strip down to make it useful?
You don't have... So you have like a... you wear clothes inside it, like a long-sleeve T-shirt, mm-hmm. and light long-sleeve long pants. And it is the equivalent of being inside a sauna, but in your own home. It's actually very relaxing. You know, these are all... pampering, or our real effort was on CBD, trying to get our arms around. Well, first of all, it's everywhere. And as
how about
said,
like going to play golf when you're awful? Does that help?
Not from what I just heard you talking about earlier. Is that, yeah, I don't think you find golf very relaxing, do you, Brendan?
Yeah, no, it's. Yep. Well, I mean, how did the marijuana stuff work?
The sugar worked as advertised. It was a very controlled, predictable, and approachable.
Is that the same as buying a marijuana-laced brownie, basically?
Yes, but in a very approachable and predictable dosage. Yeah, but it was the CBD that had some more questionable impact. We interviewed manufacturers, doctors, physicians, advocates, and consumer protection people on the CBD side, and came up with a lot of different perspectives. I think the short of it would be that for epilepsy, there's an approved FDA drug, which clearly CBD oil, cannabis oil, is shown very effective in. There are reasons to believe that for as many as 50 to 70% of the users, that CBD is effective in treating anxiety and pain. However, the dosage that you get in a scone or in CBD cocktails or CBD anything is immaterial and has no discernible impact.
So when you say the CBD, we're talking about the stuff without the THC.
Exactly, non-psychoactive.
So you can make it with hemp.
Right, hemp-derived CBD, non-psychoactive, yes.
I have to ask this question because Dr. J was telling me about somebody in New York gave him is there a difference between hemp-derived stuff? Now, Jan had some stuff where he's got a bump shoulder where they gave him, but it was marijuana-derived, but the THC was out of it. So is there a difference between marijuana plant THC out and hemp where it never was in, or are they pretty much the same?
No, there's a distinct difference where you have a point three THC over content that has to be, well, that's
whatever it was removed. Substance. Some of they removed it somehow.
Right, but if it's hemp derived CBD, that has a different characteristics than THC.
Even with the THC out.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, what? I guess I don't know the chemistry of that. It seems interesting. I wonder why that would be.
You know, I'm not certain either.
I mean, how close are those plants? You know,
it's the same plant.
Same plant. Okay.
Yeah. It's
so what gives one's the THC and that the other? Just different strains of it?
Yes. Well, not even the strains. It's for example, I was with a grower over the weekend who just planted 480 hemp plants up in his farm a couple miles north of Wisconsin border. And his biggest concern was that the clones that he purchased, which are guaranteed but not fully guaranteed to have less than 0.3 THC, he doesn't want to grow THC. He wants to grow CBD. Even though he's already worried about how much.
What are the rules in Wisconsin regarding hemp? Is it the same as Illinois? Well, what are they, and are they the same as Illinois? Two-part question.
Well, it has to be. You still can't grow THC anywhere.
No, but I mean, the hemp. Do you have to get a license for a hemp farm now? I mean, they just made it legal like 8 months ago or a year ago.
That's right.
Can anybody just go grow it, or do you have
he
to
can grow hemp?
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it? In terms of cash crop, because we talk a lot about soybeans and corn and everything on the show, is the revenue per acre, is it as good as corn? I guess
that's what I was trying to dive into, and with all due respect to this smart entrepreneurial business person who's very successful in other areas, he did not have the numbers that would justify the investment. He has no idea what the yield's going to be on the back end, how he'll monetize. It's a gold rush.
If it's a couple acres, why not try it?
Oh, that's what he's doing. That's exactly what he's doing.
Is there a tractor designed for hemp, or you just go out there and spread stuff around?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Is it grown in rows or anything like the other?
It's grown in rows.
Okay.
I saw the
so probably use a regular old tractor.
Yeah, perhaps.
And then when you harvest it, you just chop the whole thing down, right?
I guess so, yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, it was interesting. But there's a ton of product being sold, both ingestible and topical. We tried all that stuff too. I tried it all. The CBD had no impact on me in any way. I couldn't, anything from wake up to chill down to pain or anxiety. But I don't suffer from either one of those, so I guess I wasn't a good test thing. But I think for the most part, consumers are being really ripped off in a lot of areas. They don't know what the quantity of CBD is and the topicals and ingestibles that they purchase. The prices are extremely high. They don't know the quality. And there's increasing efforts by China to provide ultra-low-cost CBD of questionable origin and source. And you're going to be finding more and more in them the product. So one of the advocates that we gave a lot of voice to in this latest issue that comes out tomorrow spoke in terms of why there has to be more consumer protection, in fact, even arguing on behalf of FDA regulation, because right now he feels that consumers are really at risk.
So what do you say to a guy like Brendan who spent his whole life like running and everything to get rid of stress? Now you're just going to give him a blanket, a heavy blanket, and say, you don't have to run anymore?
A blanket and a scone and a fidget spinner, and you'll be all right.
You'll be good to go. You ready for this, Brent? Just think of the time.
I'm ready.
Yep. Think of the time you'll save.
I can just see myself now cocooning on the couch in the living room.
You don't have to go running. Don't have to go to a whole paycheck and buy coffee with your gang and a whole bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting that I have a friend who's involved in the business, right? So I'm in a medical place. We'll go nameless, but my guys, guy who calls on the show once in a while, introduces me to this young kid from China, Canada, not in the same direction. And he's 26. Kid knows more about his family, evidently owned either a medical marijuana facility, but they quickly moved into the development or whatever, where they have a factory, for lack of a better term, where everybody ships them marijuana or hemp, mostly hemp, and they do all the squeezing, and evidently it's a big deal to get, you know, to drag the oil out of the leaves and not waste any. And but those guys, I mean, they're very proud of their little vape sticks, and they claim that they know exactly how much of whatever you're getting is, but that's a business unto themselves. It's almost like Gallo. Okay, you guys go out and grow all the grapes you want, just bring them over here and I'll crush them for you. Why do you need to buy a crusher?
That's right.
So, I mean, I don't know if we have anybody like that yet in Illinois who's, you know, the processor, for lack of a better term. I mean, we probably do, or some of the bigger growers probably went out and bought the stuff because somebody's doing it. But I mean, I don't know that there's a, you know, the guy just says, just bring everything here and tell me what you want and it'll spit out the back door, because that's kind of what you're talking about, where you could test it all along the way, you know, just what was in it. Yeah. I don't know that every grower would have stuff that's that specific or that sophisticated. It seems, sounds like there's a lot of dough.
Yeah.
This guy tells me that a good oil extraction machine's $1.5 million. And that's a real number. Of course, that's Canadian dollars. That's why it's less here, but still.
Yeah. They're real investments. It is a big and growing economy, and we take a really deep dive into it. Oh, by the way, you'll also like, I wish I had it today. I was hoping we'd have the new issue today, but speaking of movies, the cover for our anxiety economy issue is a takeoff of High Anxiety.
Really?
the movie poster, which was interesting, doing a little research from that. High Anxiety, you remember the movie, Mel Brooks movie, directed and produced by Mel Brooks. Brooks, he starred in
it
as
character
well.
What a character. He was married to forever. Some starlet. Was.
I don't know.
Yeah, you see who Mel Brooks was married to? It was somebody you would never guess.
Yeah.
What? Now, real quick, but don't interrupt. Well, I already did.
Sure.
But when you say the magazine's coming out this morning, now if it was already here, you know, I'm sure we'll see it next week. But how soon does that get in my local Walmart? Those guys deliver every day, every other day, every week.
They're late. Magazine delivery into Barnes & Noble and Books A Million, I think, will probably be another 6 or 7 days.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
But then once it come out, are they everywhere?
The print subscribers will have it in about probably 4 or 5 days.
But I mean, it's not like come Friday morning, every place you go is going to have it on the O'Hare, Midway, name it. It's all going to be on the.
No, no.
They don't go like every day and every day put up two magazines or anything. It's
not at all. Yeah.
Okay. Who does the delivery?
Monthly cycles. Like everything, it's rolled up to a couple companies. There's a couple distributors now. There used to be dozens, and they've all rolled up into Curtis, which is one of the larger distributors that owns most of the magazine shelf space across the country.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, Mel Brooks was married to Florence Baum from 1953 to 1962, and then to Anne Bancroft.
Anne Bancroft,
From 1964 to 2005.
The graduate.
Yeah.
So divorced both of them. But
way late on Anne Bancroft. They were together forever.
Yeah, they're together for 41 years.
And then they got divorced?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So I'll finish that for a second. So the High Anxiety, if you remember the movie poster for it, you know, the guy spinning in a vortex?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That was a takeoff, as the movie was a homage to Alfred Hitchcock's films, particularly Vertigo. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the original movie poster for Vertigo, it looks a lot like High Anxiety. So apparently Mel Brooks asked for Hitchcock's help on the movie, and they met every Sunday for 3 months going over the script of High Anxiety. Which
Can you
really
imagine having a cup of coffee with Alfred Hitchcock? I can't.
Right.
That would be something you'd never forget about.
Yeah, yeah. So the result of that was for the movie being a comical homage to Hitchcock, Hitchcock gave Brooks a half a dozen Chateau Lafite, I forget, it was like a 1951, a unique year in magnum size, and a really expensive gift of a very, very rare wine. But they worked together on that film, which is odd, because I remember High Anxiety.
Back in the day.
By the way, slight correction, he divorced his first wife. Bancroft passed away in 2005.
Right. She was great in The Graduate. I mean,
oh, yeah. That's awesome.
But back in the day, I know the biggest seller of Playboy magazines was O'Hare Airport. Are the airports still huge magazine sellers?
Yes, but they're expensive. So we're a new title, right? Luckbox Magazine is, this will be our sixth issue. And the slotting fees to be in airports are extremely high.
Really?
You have to, they're prohibitive for new titles. So it'll take us a while to be able to.
Who decides what books goes in those places?
Money. You pay.
So like a Robert Ludlum, if he was still alive, would his book get there automatically because he's Robert Ludlum, or is he paying?
Oh, of course. For books, yeah, it's bestseller authors are going to get slotted, but magazines have to pay slotting fees.
And when really? You say slotting, you mean that's their position on the shelves so that they'd be at eye level when you walk in and on a certain rack?
Yes, that's...
As opposed to being on the bottom shelf?
That's a variation of the fee, but just even to be in the store.
In the store.
Right, even to be in the store. So the simple answer would be, we'll take you at Hudson Booksellers. Hudson would be a good example.
Oh, yeah, they're huge.
Hudson is in the airports and transportation terminals, but you'll pay a per-store fee, which is really prohibitive.
Really?
Just to have the magazine
I don't know if they're still there, but they had... We used to go get, we used to have some of our board meetings at SIBO in New York, and sometimes they would be in, is it World Trade Center 5 or something, Brendan? It's actually across the highway where the ferry comes in from New Jersey. It's a building, I think Merrill Lynch was in that building. I don't think that went down with the towers, though. It probably got pretty messed up. Because you had to go, remember that big long bridge you had to walk across to get toward the Hudson?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And, They had a massive Hudson's in there, and I'd go an hour and a half early for the meeting, and I could absolutely lose myself in there. Yeah. All artwork, books from old New York and stuff. Yeah. I mean, I could walk out of there with a truckload. I mean, it's being a bookstore. I got a question for you, learned gentleman. Who's the most fascinating person? What's having a cup of coffee with Albert Hitchcock that you ever sat down with just totally out of accident and had a conversation with? I can think of one for me.
Oh.
Brendan?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm trying to think.
I went to an opening Cub game, and they've always had, bars in the place. This one was behind the left field bleachers. It was underneath the stands. I don't know what's there now, but one year there'd be a bar there, then they'd close it. And then so it's opening day. There's a line to get out that's huge. So JD and I go, we needed another beer. Well, let's go in there and sit down. We can't get any L or anything. Walk in. Every table's full, and there's one table with two guys. And one of the guys says, "Hey, come on, sit over here. We got a couple of seats." It was Leo DeRocher. And he and Paul Popovich, we talked until they threw us out, an hour and a half. I would have give anything to have that conversation had been taped or on film where I could watch it once a month. He was spectacular to talk to. They didn't call him Leo the Lip for nothing.
I would bet. Yeah.
And he had to be. You could tell the poor guy had no hair, but he must have had, just looking at his head, not that anybody, I bet he had 30 basal cell things taken off. I mean, but I mean, he just, he had to be pushing 90, and it didn't, I don't know how old he was at the time, but he lasted a long time. And Popovich just like a regular, matter of fact, he looked a lot like you. Almost the same size and build as you, and you'd sit there going, this guy's, Paul Popovich was arguably one of the top 25 fielding second basemen that ever came around. I mean, and he just looked like a regular accountant. you would never have guessed. But, those guys have, talk about a history of stuff that guy could talk about. But
I did mention once before that I had an interesting dinner with, just one-on-one with Anthony Scaramucci one night. And that was interesting because he got a call from the White House that evening while we were sitting there.
Did he put you on?
Nobody. I listened on speaker while he was on hold.
Really?
And he also called Sean Hannity while I was there, and then he received a call from the New York Times, all within about a three-hour dinner.
I've heard that his obnoxious personality that we saw in the 2 days he was there is not really him. He's actually a pretty good guy.
Not at all. I personally think he's a great guy.
Dr. Jay says the same thing.
Yeah, he's a smart guy, and he's... he's a media whore. Can I say that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I question some of his media instincts, but he's he's a self-made guy, and that's 100% true. He came from a very, very modest family and ended up at Tufts and then Harvard Law School and running a $12 billion hedge fund, and those things don't just happen. I have a question for you. I read something interesting in the last couple of days that caught my attention by Peter Thiel, the founder of PayPal and the Silicon Valley investor and, a more visible guy lately as a libertarian, becoming a little bit more politically
active. Can anybody define for me, I don't want to interrupt, which I already did, but
That's second time you've said that.
I know, but I mean, maybe tell me what a
today.
What a libertarian. It seems like every year the libertarians run, and the guy is totally different political bent than the last guy to run. Is there actually a libertarian 10 things libertarians believe in?
Sure, there is. Sure, that's a whole different subject, though.
Oh no, but yeah. I just would you say that? But if I were to ask 20 people what a libertarian believes in,
well,
I'm going to get 20 different answers.
You're talking to one of them. So
well, but you actually know.
Sure.
Well, yeah. I voted for the guy last time, but I didn't.
Individual liberty, so libertarians are
small
very,
government.
Very progressive on a social basis. So that means you know, they don't want people telling them what to do, what to ingest, what to who to marry. So a libertarian would be a very progressive person on the social side and very fiscally responsible on the.
Well, the one guy who ran a couple times ago was. He was such a gun nut. He was like the head of NRA, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sitting there going, that doesn't
sound... Well, again...
Yeah, why don't we save the Peter Thiel question until after break. SP Futures up 10.50, NASDAQ Futures up 33.50. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, Give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right
now. Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. He's Mr. Brendan Cornan. He's Mr. Jeff Joseph. He's Mr. Matt Weber. Hey, Luckbox Magazine, we've been talking about that a little bit. Your Guide to Money and Probability is available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. And the new one should be out in the next few days, actually. Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. When's the digital one available?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Thursday.
Is the cover as neat as the last one?
It's better.
Really?
Yeah, it's a great cover.
You got to tell me after the break. You get to do that. Those things are spectacular.
This was an outside illustrator, and we expect him to do his take on high anxiety on the poster. So
we fit in a picture of the trading floor on there, for God's
sake. Right.
SP futures up 10.75. NASDAQ futures up 33.50. We've got individual stocks, like I'm saying, that are the ones from the earnings last night. Our Coca-Cola is up $1.92. We've got UTEX. Where am I at here? Stumbling here. Sorry about that. UTEX is up $3.20. Manny, I seem to have lost my page. How about doing Trevi Weather Sports, then I'll do the around-the-world stuff.
I can do that. 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We've been off to a pretty good start this morning on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways, though traffic volumes are starting to build heavily on the Eisenhower, Stevenson, and on the Kennedy. The Kennedy specifically, we have a significant crash blocking the three center lanes on the outbound side just before Montrose Avenue. So if you're heading out to O'Hare, delay is building significantly. It's up to 46 minutes right now, and expect that to be well over an hour here in the coming minutes as folks are heading outbound. Inbound is not affected by that crash, but the inbound delays are starting to build as well. Off the expressways, we have a crash. It looks like right off the Tri-State Tollway southbound. Actually, it looks like it's on the Tri-State Tollway southbound just before Half Day Road, which is Route 22. There's a crash blocking the two left lanes. This is causing some congestion as well in the northern suburbs. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, a beautiful summer day in Chicago today. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 78 degrees. Right now it's crystal clear and 65 downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, are partly cloudy with a high of 106 today. Right now it's mostly cloudy and 84. In sports, Cubs had a 3-0 lead and then a 4-2 lead in the eighth before giving up three in the bottom half to lose to the Giants in San Francisco last night, 5-4. Cubs have dropped two in a row. White Sox blew out the Marlins 9-1 down on the south side. And the Diamondbacks topped the Orioles 6-3. Chief.
I was watching a little bit of that game. Orioles actually have, they gave,
you were watching the Diamondbacks versus the Orioles?
I watched just a little bit of it. And what, the Orioles had a big weekend against, was it Boston or somewhere they clobbered?
I think it was Boston, yeah, which was a surprise because the Orioles are, along with the Tigers, sorry Joel, are the two worst teams in baseball right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway. So to tell us about our Mr. Neal.
Peter Thiel's
question.
Peter Thiel, sorry.
So Peter, he's become prominent in some political circles lately, but he's really known for his Silicon Valley, you know, accomplishments and as an investor. But he wrote a book called Zero to None, which is a really good read. It's about, it's predominantly for entrepreneurs and startups. And I had read it some time ago, but I must not have caught the gravity of this one thing that somebody brought up to me over the weekend, which was the question that he swears by, which he thinks is the single best interview question, the one question to always ask in interviews, and it's, what important truth do very few people agree with you on? What important truth do very few people agree with you on? And he likes that question for a number of obvious reasons.
Well, I love it. What's the answer?
Well, I'm going to ask you that question. So I'm asking you, what important truth? And nobody asks you questions all day long, so I'm asking you.
Boy, I can think of a whole bunch of them.
Well, give me one. And you're on deck, by the way.
What important truth? I either say something economic or I'd say something about how you deal with people. I'd say the important truth is that other people like to be treated like you like to be treated.
But you're saying no one else agrees with that?
Yeah.
But no, but I'm right. That no one else agrees with
it. It has to be a very minority view, though.
All right. I'm, the way people act these days, I'm not so sure that isn't a minority view. But, that's a good one. I think a lot of it has to do with the economic stuff. I would say I think that the people on the right now, when they fight with the people on the left regarding the economy and socialism and so forth, I don't think that they define what we are right now. I think they have this view. What did Mike Rico say of Ronald Reagan? It was a jaundiced view of an America that never existed. I think the people on the right now, the business people, their view of what our economy is totally wrong. I mean, when they accuse somebody of being a socialist, they don't realize we're I'd say a third socialist, a third fascist, and we're a third competitive. And I don't think anybody has that definition. I mean, I really believe that. And
that same argument about socialism happened for Medicare.
Yep.
It happened for Social Security. It happened for a lot of the programs right now that people take for granted and are embedded in their everyday life.
But I don't think anybody can define the normal industry right now, say the drug companies, where there's like four of them. And that's not socialist. It's certainly not competitive. I don't know what it is. And we're getting more and more people in there. And before we fight with people and call people names over where we're going, we at least should have an idea of where we are. And I honestly don't think we do.
There's a great book by Jonathan Tepper, no relation to the hedge fund manager, called Monopoly Capitalism, that speaks basically to that. You know, that in every major industry, there's a handful of companies that are dominating those industries. And it speaks to the lax antitrust efforts.
Well, and the word for that as an economic system is fascist. It has nothing to do with, you know, concentration camps. I mean, that was the fascist economic system. There's three or four very well-supported industries or companies in every industry with the basically nose up the ass of government. And it's
Garver Lake writes in on Twitter, must be careful with the important truth question. It could get into religion, and that is a legal minefield for interviewers.
Yeah. All right, now that you ask Brendan. Now that he's had time to think about it.
I intended to, Brendan.
Well, you know, I think mine is more of a concept. And the answer is not so much in the theory behind it, but in practice. And that's to thine own self be true. That, you know, what are the true core concepts that you have, and can you implement them in every day? I mean, at what point, I mean, you can say that, yeah, I'm an honest person. I don't steal from cash box. I don't go into a Starbucks and reach around the corner and grab a couple of bucks out of the till. But, you know, when a question of integrity comes in, are you willing to show your integrity as opposed to allowing the facts and circumstances to rationalize your behavior?
Do you think that's a minority view?
Yes.
Point?
Yep. I mean, I think that if you were to ask most people, right, the whole concept of their own self be true, yeah. But then in practice, do you practice that integrity level? Right. And, you know, can you come up with examples where you violated that, where you weren't true to the principles that you espouse, that I espouse, you know, to you or to Chief? Have I gone contrary to that? And how did I rationalize that? Was it an instantaneous rationalization? Was it a long-term rationalization? Or, you know, was I willing to give something up? Was I willing not to get something in order to maintain my integrity?
Yeah. Brendan and I are from the, Maddie Weber maybe say good thing, the dying out Southside Catholic school upbringing, to where when somebody gave you a question, you immediately thought, is it right or wrong? Is it moral or immoral? The thought never showed up in your mind, was it legal or illegal?
Mm-hmm.
You decided whether it was right or wrong before you decided whether it was legal or illegal. And I think both of us agree, which you're not supposed to do on radio, that you're seeing less and less of that. If it's legal, it must be okay. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Is this something they spend time in purgatory for?
Yeah. Hey, Matt, they handled the religious drift pretty well, I thought. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think either of them answered your question. But
well, that's a hard question to ask.
It's a hard question.
Yeah, you could take a shot at
I'll throw one out there, but I think I have a lot of these. But a lot of mine do apply to religion. I get into fights with Chief all the time because I think it's absolutely insane. But another one that no one agrees with me on that I think is probably true is that if you legalized drugs across the board, just legalized them, that a bunch of our crime completely goes away. And when I say our crime, I talk about the city of Chicago.
Well, you're speaking to a libertarian, so I agree with you completely.
But that is not a popular opinion.
Not at all.
And but I believe it, you know, the weed trade is going to be completely, mm-hmm. you know, gone as far as the underground marijuana.
Actually, it's not at all because it's growing in the areas of the medical areas because the amount people can get per month is probably twice or three times as much as they actually need. There's a huge secondary market.
There is, but it's. I'm trying to think of how that could possibly harm anybody. No one's going to shoot each other over that when you can get it legally.
Do you guys have the same fear that I do? I knew people in college that smoked dope every day, and all of a sudden one day I didn't smoke dope anymore. Yet that is not the same as if you go through some neighborhoods now, we all know what we're talking about, and you see somebody 35 walking along that you can tell by looking at them that they're a crystal meth problem, and there's no coming back from that. The teeth are falling out. There's no way they stop that for a week and get back to be normal. And there's a difference in the, I don't think marijuana is physically addictive to the even at all, really, to the extent that the this other stuff is. And I don't know that
Well, I think alcohol is probably just as addictive as anything else.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. but I guess my point is not about whether you should do it or not, whether it's good for you. I think we all agree that most drugs are certainly hard drugs are not good for you. My point is back in the 20s, people shot each other over alcohol,
right.
And then we legalized it and they stopped doing that.
Yep.
Same thing's going to happen for weed, and if we did it across the board, my theory is that people will not shoot each other over drugs. Now, will they find something else to shoot each other over? Maybe.
But
right now, it's all over drugs.
I agree with you.
You guys are very agreeing right now. Typically, when people absolutely
not.
Fight me on it.
I honestly believe, and these guys, I think Jeff, I think that there are some drugs that are absolutely physically addictive. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've read stories where you put crystal meth in a room with a monkey, and once he hits the thing about eight times, he starts banging on it.
Sure, but should cigarettes be illegal? They're physically addictive.
And much cigarettes are worse than anything as far as
addictiveness. I think that cigarettes are a problem.
Should gambling be illegal? It's addictive to people.
What I'm talking about
gambling is a little bit different than the physical product of tobacco or alcohol or marijuana.
It's addictive.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Well, my point is, to me, there's a line between what a chemist tells me is absolutely addictive where your body changes to want it. I mean,
but that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is would it affect crime?
I'm rolling with you. My point is, I'm rolling with you on marijuana. I'm not so sure I'm going to do it on crystal meth.
So you don't think it would affect crime positively if we legalized it?
I'm saying they're two totally different issues.
I'm asking a very simple question.
Well,
do you think crime rate?
I think the crime,
violent crime over drugs on the South Side, which is what's happening.
I think the crime rate would go down if we decided murder was legal too. By definition, it's going to go down. Because all murders would be okay.
I'm talking about will violent crime go down?
Yeah.
If we legalize drugs,
I don't know why this is a hard question. That murder would go down.
That's a non sequitur. I don't know why this is a hard question for you to answer. Do you think
the answer is?
Do you think violent crime would go down if we legalized drugs, or do you think it would be the same, or do you think it would go up?
I think it would probably go down.
There you go.
There
you go. Now, is that enough? We just talked about if something is legal or illegal. There's an incredible amount of people in this country that if marijuana becomes legal, it's now okay. Okay, booze is okay. It's not okay for me to go and have enough shots to where I fall on the street and puke all over the place on the way home. It's not okay.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm
but
saying...
But you have that choice.
And that's your rights to get that drunk.
Right, and what I'm saying is I think some of these drugs... Look how many football players and people that are... And how many people do you think... I mean, there's a reason why everybody. A lot of people in New Hampshire, we had Dr. Johnson on, have an issue with oxycodone. Those same people don't have a problem with marijuana or alcohol, because one is physically addictive and the others aren't.
Now, there's quite a bit of research done about the receptors of the brain, which means
about.
That not everybody who's an alcoholic becomes a drug addict.
Right.
There are cross addictions, but there are centers in the brain that make somebody predisposed to alcohol and alcohol abuse and alcohol addiction, and they are not as susceptible to becoming an opioid abuser, and vice versa. There is a lot of research being done right now on the receptors of the brain that identify something else. And I think there's research even just quite earlier about gambling. I mean, that's different, that there are receptors in the brain that just light up like crazy when they walk into a casino, when they walk into a card game,
sure.
That is not present when that same person is given a glass of bourbon.
Like Matty Weber, he's a basketball game ready to go. He can't wait to pull his $20 on it.
The World Health Organization cites gambling disorder as an addictive, as a disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can make the same argument then about drugs and gambling. So, Matt, you won the question sweepstakes.
Well, I actually answered it. So,
yes, you answered it.
Well, did you ever, one of the schools I worked in, I think there's a lot of degrees, what you guys were talking about, everybody's sort of different and this stuff. And mm-hmm. one of the schools, there was this guy, he was 50-some-ish. So we're having a cup of coffee, and he goes, Tom, do you like to drink? And I said, well, yeah, I don't mind having a few beers now and then. And he says, does it bother you? And I said, no, actually, it's the reason why I do is because when I was in college, all my friends were doing all kinds of other stuff. I figured here's one vice I could handle, and I pretty much stuck with this one instead of trying to find one I couldn't handle. And he goes, well, you know, I wish I was like that. And I go, why? He goes, well, I'm a really serious alcoholic. And I go, I don't know exactly what that means, but really serious. He goes, My metabolism is totally different than other people's. He says, the first time me and my buddies went and got six packs of beer or got drunk, I knew I was different.
Hmm.
He goes, it affected me differently. He goes, if you have too much once in a while, what happens? I go, I get a hangover and I can't stand hangovers. He said, I was just the opposite. I felt great in the morning and I'd feel crummier as the day wore on unless I had another drink. He goes, however your body reacts to it, mine reacts to it differently.
Right.
Which is, I was stunned, you know, and I didn't realize that. He goes, yeah, some people, you know, they can't say no when they're in a party because they're not really alcoholics. They just don't know when to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have, he goes, I have a physical problem. I can never take a drink again, ever. And probably never should have the first time. Now, right. Would that be, do you think that's blood type? What is that?
I mean, it's not blood type. It's your brain receptors and it's your genetics. It doesn't mean that your parents necessarily were alcoholics or drug addicts, but it means that someplace in your genetic pool there are receptors that the switch gets flipped. When you consume alcohol or something else.
In fact, that same research showed up in our CBD studies as well. There are CBD receptors as well. There's a reason why 50 to 70% of the people have discernible reactions that relieve pain or anxiety, and it's because they have those receptors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you can look at the brain studies for some folks, and you give them a glass of alcohol, and you know certain parts of the brain just light up in red
really?
Or green or whatever the receptors are, and you give them the same thing a dose of heroin and nothing. The receptors are completely
That's
different.
Amazing.
Or gambling or whatever their triggers are, you'll see the receptors in their brain just light up like a Christmas tree.
Before we get out of here, I would definitely like to hear Jeff's important truth.
Yeah. Thought you were going to get out of here. Weren't you, Jeff, went out there?
To flip it back on you.
There's a couple that come to mind.
Name one.
The first one is I believe that the likes of Google, Facebook, and Amazon are a greater existential threat than climate change is. And I believe in climate change. But I think that Google, Facebook, and Amazon are a bigger concern right now.
Because of the data mining and
data
intrusion
mining,
and stuff like that?
Abuse, just the unchecked power that they have. When you control 90% of all searches, you control 90% of all information. And I think we are just giving these companies a pass in many, many ways about I think they're the big devils today that for some reason there hasn't been enough attention to or
Jeff,
mobilization
why,
against.
Here's a question.
So that'd be one of them.
All right, I have a question on that one, a follow-up. comes from my buddy Bill Murphy, my attorney buddy. Why have people, it's so obvious, I think, to anybody who has an ounce of brains, as my mother used to say, that's happening, and yet nobody seems to care. There seems to be no limit to what people are willing to give up for convenience.
Right.
The difference is, my buddy Bill Murphy said, Tom, the difference is when we all read 1984, the idea was that a government was going to do that to us. We never dreamed we were going to do it to ourselves.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Because
I have a feeling you have an interesting view of this. People, they can't wait to tell people they just bought a cup of coffee using their cell phone over to Dunkin' Donuts. Why?
Well, I do have a view. That's something we're looking at now, too. I've never been on Facebook, and even though I'm completely, social media adept, and it's part of our business, and we rely on that, but I've managed to stay off Facebook. We're now looking into the alternatives to Google. We're investigating that for our next issue. But I think Amazon is that's a real problem. Look at the convenience of, I need a toothbrush, and, 2 days later it's at your front door.
And 2 hours later.
2 hours later, right, on a Prime Pantry, right. And, we're just not willing to give up some of these conveniences, and it's crazy. I'm working on that hard. Amazon, Google, and Facebook are just, I see them in 10 years being a major, major threat to our way of life, to our privacy, I think of the movie Rollerball, and
Do you think it's because of the immediacy of where they're going compared to climate change?
Because everything they've done, just like the game developers now too, they spend their time building in we're talking about addictions here, and gaming disorder was recently declared by the World Health Organization a disorder. So there is now a gaming disorder. So the kid who spends too much time and can't break away from Fortnite, that is a recognized disorder by the World Health Organization, which means it's subject to insurance reimbursement, etc. And it's at those same receptors. Mm-hmm. Gaming developers and the people at Google and Facebook and Amazon are spending all their time figuring out how to gamify these platforms so you are engaged. So there's a reason you can't put down your phone and can't think of searching for something outside of Google or need to be reliant on Facebook or must buy everything from Amazon, is that the architecture of these platforms are being designed to addict you to those platforms. And, it's one thing to worry about Trump or Johnson or Warren or whoever your devil is, but these companies, they have us. They have us by the short ways.
Well, and you see our politicians.
See, this goes back to Star Trek. Star Trek Next Generation had an episode called The Game where they put this, like a headphone on, and it ignited some of those receptors and took them away from running the ship.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that Amazon did geniusly, unfortunately, have you ever known anybody that bought a Mercedes-Benz that said it was a crap car?
No, but I've never known anyone who said my doctor's terrible.
No, that's right.
I'm saying
I've got the best.
I've got the best doctor.
I don't really use any of these people. But I guess I bought a couple of things at Amazon and didn't really like it either way. But when they get you in this Amazon Prime for $60, they've locked you in. You guys know more about this than me. But if you unfettered just go online, I want to buy some car headlights or I want to buy some fasteners, the kind of crap that I'll buy, right? There's all kinds of people that will send stuff to you for free in 2 days, and half the time the prices are better than Amazon. But the people who have this, I paid $60 for this thing, I've got to use it. They will absolutely, my girlfriend, she'll, and Maddie's significant other, I bet if I told Jill that she didn't need to use Amazon anymore, she and Audrey would grab frying pans and come after me.
They are absolutely locked in shipping.
It's convenient.
That's included.
But the thing
with
of it is,
Prime
everybody's
membership.
Free.
Well, not everybody.
Well, you got to find it. You got to go someplace else to find it. That's an extra step in the process that you don't want to do.
As of December, there were 101 million Amazon Prime members.
And once they get your $60, people are going to make that $60 worth it.
It's not 60 anymore. I think it's like a 99.
Really?
I think
they keep
it's like $100 a year, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to make that worth it. I guess, Jeff, next week, if we wanted to, if there was a political will, How do you turn that bus back? Every time I see come with somebody getting more and more dominated, I mean, Commonwealth Edison's still there from 1930. Yeah. How do you turn the bus back on this stuff? Well, I mean, that's a whole show. That's not 2 minutes.
But. Yeah, but that's why Elizabeth Warren gets a little credit for bringing up the issue. She has. There's groups called the Open Markets Committee that's ongoing advocates about this. There's a good book by Jonathan Tepper called Monopoly Capitalism. There's growing voices here. Peter Thiel is one of them, one of the growing voices about the dominance of these companies in the unchecked
manner. You think he commands someday?
He's a tough one. Roger McNamee, okay. The Silicon Valley investor, just recently wrote a book called Zucked.
All right, I'm going to put you in a bad mood.
Which is excellent.
Everybody's going to say Facebook's had a horrible year. Every Congress is beating them up. They started the year at $135, now they're $200.
Right.
And they got more people.
And you cannot imagine a worse year from a PR
standpoint. Imagine, yeah.
Maybe Tesla and Facebook, you know, and that.
It doesn't matter. Right. The stock's up 50%, and they're,
that's right.
And then there's more subscribers. And everybody who's on it says, well, I don't even like it. Everybody's stealing my stuff, and yet they're still on it. Right. It's pretty unbelievable. S&P futures up 1075. NASDAQ futures up 33. Yeah, good stuff. Next week, let's dig into deeper. What's the solution? We found the problems. Let's get some solutions next week. Be right back tomorrow morning, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.